Thank you for downloading this podcast from the BBC. In the aftermath of the worst riots in a generation across English cities, Simon Cox profiles the Home Secretary, Theresa May.
I call the Home Secretary, Mrs. Theresa May.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the last 5 days have been a dark time for everybody who cares about their community and their country.
This week, MPs were all back from their holidays to condemn the riots, but Theresa May, the Home Secretary, got the first plane home, while the Prime Minister and other MPs were still topping up their tans. With the rioters being rounded up, she turned her fire on the police.
Why does a violent gang culture exist in so many of our towns and cities? Why did the police find it so hard to prevent or contain the violence? It will take time to answer those questions fully and adequately, but I will take each of them in turn.
Regarded as a safe pair of hands with a determined prep school headmistress manner, even fans say this hasn't been her best week.
She didn't empathise with people in quite the way that a perfect politician for the television age would have done. She lacked anger, she lacked passion that I think people wanted.
She could always seek solace in some retail therapy, indulging her penchant for a natty pair of shoes.
She's seen as a rather dour creature, but in fact the shoes suggest that there's a much wilder side to Theresa May.
Theresa May's own upbringing was nothing like those in the inner city areas she's been touring this week. Her formative years were spent in Oxfordshire, where her father was a country vicar.
Well, she was nice, fairly tall, good-looking. She loved clothes, especially shoes, and she could be relied upon to be wearing the latest fashions.
Friends say her Anglican high church background has been highly influential on her strong convictions and commitment to public duty. Now in her 90s, Dorothy Avery first encountered the young Theresa when her father took over the 18th century St Mary the Virgin Church in the village of Wheatley.
She entered into life in the village, especially in the church. I remember her in a pantomime once that her father produced, and she delighted in things like that. To get some more pocket money, I remember, she served in the village bakery on Saturday mornings for a while.
There followed the well-trodden politician's path to Oxford, where she read geography. On the second day, she met Pat Frankland and began a friendship that's continued for over 30 years. The young Theresa Brazier, as she then was, joined the Conservative Party and knew where she wanted to go.
I can't remember a time when she didn't have political ambition. I will remember that she did want at the time to be the first woman Prime Minister. And she was quite irritated when Margaret Thatcher got there first.
What did she say about it then when Margaret Thatcher was elected?
You know, she got her... That was her ambition gone. You know, she could no longer be the first woman Prime Minister.
In Westminster, she has a reputation for being a bit bland. But Theresa the student was anything but, according to Pat Frankland. Although their heady 1970s nights out were hardly what you'd call raucous.
I can remember her going to an Offenbach operetta with us, and Theresa came back still singing the songs at us all, and definitely the funny ones. She could be quite a good mimic almost of that type of thing. We were students. You went out, you got slightly drunk. We didn't have enough money to get very drunk, I'll tell you that. And, you know, you'd muck around on the way back and she could be quite funny with the rest of us.
And, of course, there were boys. Being 5'11", she preferred tall men. And in her third year, she began dating Philip May, then head of the Oxford Union. After leaving university, they married. But shortly after, Theresa's father, Hubert, was killed in a car accident. For several weeks, she stayed with Dorothy Avery and her sister in Wheatley each weekend as she cleared out the vicarage where her parents had lived.
My sister said to her, "Theresa, you're rather political, aren't you?" "Of course I am. I'm going to be Prime Minister one day." And Joyce, my sister, said, "Oh, come on." And then she realised she'd said the wrong thing. Theresa really meant it. And she's nearly there.
That path to the top table of politics began in the 1980s when she was 30 in the relative backwater of Merton Council in southwest London. Theresa May juggled her job as a financial consultant in the city with a political career as a councillor and later deputy leader of Merton Council. On a visit to a local school, she made a huge impression on one student, Tariq Ahmed.
She was one of the first people to get me introduced into public life and politics. As it was, the sort of personal connection continued many years later. I think we lost her seat to the Labour Party, and it was in 2002 when we regained it. I was actually elected to the seat that Theresa held when she was first a councillor.
What was she like in local politics? How did she actually operate?
She said what she believed. She was very principled, and she gave it her all. I forget the number of times I knocked on a door, and they said, oh, yes, we remember Theresa May, and she was very good.
It was the start of a long friendship with the now Lord Ahmed. By the time he took over the old council seat of his political mentor, she was already forging ahead in Westminster. After several failed attempts, in 1997, it was third time lucky when the voters of Maidenhead backed her. She was quickly brought into the shadow cabinet, according to Tim Montgomery, surprisingly hastily.
I think she was probably promoted too quickly. It was a time when the Conservative Party was desperate to have some women in the front line, and she was seen as one of the most capable women the Conservative Party had, and she was promoted incredibly fast. And I think she's been now one of the longest-serving Conservatives at the top of the party. I think leader after leader have seen her as a no-nonsense, high performer.
In 2002, she made history as the first female chairman of the Conservative Party. She had what one MP called a mumsy quality, which Middle England liked. She didn't wait long, though, to upset the more traditional Tweed and Twinset wing of the party with her infamous speech at the 2002 conference.
You know what some people call us? The nasty party. I know that's unfair, you know that's unfair, but it's the people out there we need to convince.
I think she was quite right to tell it as it is, and I think that's one of her interesting qualities. Of course, it didn't make her popular, but at the time we were losing elections and we were set to lose another election big, big time.
Former Tory MP Edwina Currie supported her, even though it's thought she was one of the MPs Theresa May had in mind when she laid into Conservative politicians who, she said, behaved disgracefully and compounded their offences by trying to evade responsibility.
She was chairman of the party, it was her job, and she explained that the Conservatives had got themselves into a situation where nobody thought well of them, and it was brave and courageous of her to do so.
But it wasn't just her excoriating comments that got the headlines. There was acres of coverage of her footwear.
She's very conservative, but she's wearing this wild shoe called Hot to Trot that was a leopard, pointed toe, moccasin with a kitten heel. Totally unconservative.
Beverly Feldman, one of the world's leading shoe designers, was responsible for the Hot to Trot shoes.
The women that wear my shoes, they are usually conservative type of women that like to have a little fun with their footwear. Most shoe designers are always saying, you know, what celebrities wear their shoes. But the fact that I had a politician and somebody like Theresa May, I was very proud of that.
She's now in discussions with Russell and Bromley to launch a 10th anniversary edition of those famous leopard print shoes in celebration of their most famous wearer. Edwina Currie certainly won't need a pair.
A pair of her shoes came up for auction not long ago. My husband, who is besotted, I think, actually started to bid for them. So we ended up as the proud owners of a pair of kitten heel leather print shoes. She has rather big feet, but they are very, very smart shoes indeed. And we're going to hang on to them.
Such was her fondness for shoes that Theresa May even had photos of slinky sandals on her office walls as party chairman. She also managed to replace the old chintzy furniture, but she couldn't do the same with the angry Tory dissenters sniping at her in the Commons tea rooms. After a year of backbiting, she was off to pastures new in the shadow cabinet. Tim Montgomery, who worked alongside Theresa May, says what's unique about her is the lack of a political clique.
When I used to work in Parliament, I would often go past the restaurant, and invariably she'd be having dinner with her husband, Philip, night after night, just the two of them. That's a very unusual thing for politicians. They're always lunching journalists and colleagues. They're networking, looking to meet people who will give them a step up the ladder in future years. Theresa isn't someone who networks in the way that a conventional politician does. She's not always looking to build a great coalition that will support her. There aren't Theresa Mayites.
But that's not stopped successive party leaders giving her prominent roles in their shadow cabinets. Her attention to detail, reputation for hard work and no-nonsense style has continued in government, where she's seen off ID cards and emerged pretty unscathed by the student demonstrations. She doesn't hold back either from attacking cabinet colleagues who challenge her, as Vince Cable found out when he questioned her immigration reforms.
Insiders tell me that at that meeting, she eviscerated him. She didn't use any charm to get what she wanted. She just absolutely was insistent that it was her way that was going to prevail. But she won. She got what she wanted on immigration. She's absolutely determined to pursue her mission. She has a goal and she sets about to achieve it.
But this uncompromising manner hasn't gone down well with the police, particularly frontline officers. And they made this clear by greeting her speech to the Police Federation conference this year in total silence. And then the Home Secretary had to sit through an uncomfortable video link from David Rathband, the officer blinded by Raoul Moat.
I'd like to ask you, Home Secretary, I was paid £35,000 last year. Do you think I'm paid too much?
Although Paul McKeever, chairman of the Police Federation, believes she's a decent woman, he finds her frustrating to deal with.
We feel a little let down, I have to say, over the last year. And at this conference, we had to point out to her that we think the government are making some very serious errors in their policy in relation to policing and law and order.
The Home Secretary needs him and his officers on her side, and that'll be a lot harder following her trenchant criticism of the police this week. It'll also intensify the battle over the planned cuts to the police, one of the reforms she's determined to drive through. Paul McKeever says her unwillingness to compromise has made her far harder to work with than previous Home Secretaries.
Theresa May seems to be a very serious politician indeed. And prior to Alan Johnson, we had Jackie Smith, who privately we got on with well and could speak with very openly too. Theresa May seems to be very much driven by policy, it would appear. And it is quite difficult to actually do business with her in that respect because of the rigidity.
Even her supporters say this week hasn't been a great one for the normally unflappable Home Secretary. The department, fondly known as the political armpit of Whitehall, has dented the ambitions of many of her predecessors, and the riots present her most daunting challenge. Tim Montgomery isn't sure how she'll emerge from it.
So much can go wrong for a Home Secretary, and we've seen that this week. And so this may be her final job. But she is seen as someone that if David Cameron fell under that proverbial bus and the Conservative Party wanted a safe pair of hands, it's her and William Hague that people talk of. Britain's Mrs. Merkel, the German Chancellor, a no-nonsense person who in difficult times might be the kind of person Britain needs.
For terms and conditions and details of other podcasts from the BBC, please go to our website, bbc.co.uk.